Walking carefully, number five. I haven't gotten tired of walking yet, so I think we'll be here maybe a few more lessons, but I don't think too many more anyways. So before we get started, let's take a moment of silent prayer. And for us, it simply means that we can get in fellowship by naming our sins to God the Father. And we are then cleansed from all unrighteousness and able to just learn the Word through the Holy Spirit's power and also to use it in our thinking process. So let's pray. Dear Father, we are thankful for your Word, thankful for everything that you provide. We know that you have a plan. We just pray that we can focus on it, get closer and get to know it better so we can learn about what you have us do in this life and to better and more frequently glorify you as our God. We thank you for this life. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So walking carefully, I think I'll just start reading from verse 17, get us warmed up. It says, "So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." So, actually we're in verse 18. What did I tell you, 15 or something like that? I stare at it so long, I guess the numbers just all go together after a while. But we left off with 18, and we noted that this is a good picture or a contrast to show us from going from understanding or and knowing what the will of God is versus wasting time and dissipation, which is a spiritual waste, if you remember that word, the definition of that word. So, and that's a big contrast here. You can see from verse 17 and 18, there's two contrasts, one in 17 and another one in 18. And I think verse 18, I think the focus is really on this dissipation, as we'll see. There's that waste of time when it comes to the Christian life, and that's why the filling of the Spirit is brought up when we're thinking about time. Many times we just think about time. But in the context of spirituality, we've got to think about time in the sense of, are we effective and are we filled with the Holy Spirit versus not? And that's what this verse is essentially bringing out. And we kind of it kind of warmed us up before we got here, talking about redeeming the time, walking in the light. And now we can see being filled with the Spirit in fellowship instead of being useless. No one wants to be useless. We all want to be, have a part, be useful, you could say, in the plan of God. So, and I think we all are being useful in God's will. So this verse is basically saying, we could sum it up by saying, don't allow sin to take control and make you ineffective as a Christian. But instead, there's the contrast, be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is that second command. Remember, we had one of the commands in verse 17 and another one in verse 18. We see understand, and then we see be filled. So the real issue here is, for the believer anyways, is what's controlling your soul. What's in control of your life? It goes back to walking, right? This is a spiritual walk in advance, and we can walk or we can walk by being controlled. And either way, you're going to be controlled by something. It's either ourselves or it's the Holy Spirit. And that's why this verse is using alcohol, because it has a gripping effect and it doesn't let you loose from it for an extended period of time. So, and this is maybe an extreme case, but sin does the exact same thing. It gets us out of fellowship, maybe not with this, this jail per se, this effect that alcohol has, but it really does. It chains us down out of fellowship, and we're no longer walking or filled with the Spirit here. So kind of keep going back to that relationship aspect. So we first had the negative. We see the two negatives in verse 17 and 18, and then you have the positives. So you see, do not be foolish, do not get drunk, and then you see the correlations to those, understand and be filled. So black and white here of what we want and what we don't want, of what God's trying to show us, what you're in and what you're out, what's your effectiveness and what's ineffectiveness here. And so, and then we made the obvious connection between these two. Foolishness and drunkenness go together. I don't think I have to explain that too much. In the same way, we see that there's a connection between understanding God's will and the filling of the Spirit. That's pretty important, because that's our life. That's our whole entire life, is understanding the will of God. What does He want us to do? What does He want us to know? And where does He want us to be? And that's the will of God for your life. And if we don't do that in the filling of the Holy Spirit, there's no possibility to understand God's will for your life. So very important. So let's look at the word filled. Let's look at the word filled here. You can see it in yellow. It's plerao, and you've heard it before. It's a verb, present passive imperative. There's a command, and it means to become full or to be filled, usually translated that way, to be complete, to cause to abound, to furnish or supply liberally. I like that. To furnish or supply liberally. So when you think about, or when I think about the idea of being filled, it has the idea of occupying space, right? When you think of something filling up a glass, it takes up room. It occupies the glass. And when you were thinking about the Holy Spirit, there's no room for any emptiness. It's going to occupy or it's not. That's the contrast we're seeing in verse 17 or 18. You either are or you aren't. This is a be filled or you're not type of thing. So one way to understand this is that God gave us the ability to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. He did. And with that, when you completely fill something, there's no room for anything else, because it occupies you. Now, we know we can change that through our volition, but see, there's a concept that we all know. There's a battle between the sin nature and the Holy Spirit. And so we could look at it as kind of King of the Mountain game happening. There's a control thing that wants to take place on both sides of the fence, the Holy Spirit versus the sin nature. And whoever gets to the top of the mountain wants to stay there. That's the goal of each one. They want to stay in position, and they will fight. Because remember, the scripture tells us there's actually a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Remember, they're in opposition. And so what does that mean? They both want to fill. They both want to occupy. They both want to control. They both want to lead you. They both want to take your time. They both want to do the same things, but for completely separate purposes. So it gets interesting. So there can only be one of the two controlling. One of the two. No other way to go. So we have to ask ourselves, what's influencing? The flesh versus the Holy Spirit. And you've heard it said different ways. Flesh versus the spirit, carnal versus spiritual. And a lot of people tend to dismiss this. Dismiss the whole doctrine that you guys know as spirituality. The filling versus not filling. And there's, this isn't anything new. But we can't dismiss this, because we have these things that tell us that there is a difference. There's a difference, and we have a command to be filled with. And as we all know, if we're given a command, we have the capability to not be filled. So we've got to pay attention. We also have scripture that talks about, of course, commands us to walk by means of the Spirit. How about walking in light? And you've got to, we have to be able to correlate all these things to be able to explain them. We can't just push this off the side of the mountain. What about grieve the Spirit? Quench the Spirit, which are we're all capable of doing these things. So I think all these doctrines kind of, you know, are connected. So we can't explain them away. We have to address them. Now, and the most important question is, what do we do with sin? I think if we were going to push this aside, we'd have to ask ourselves, what do we do with sin? That's the real issue, is what do we do with it? Well, the good news is we just have to confess it. But when you get out of that realm, you start getting into the human side of what to do with sin. And I can come up with a lot of things on what I think I should do about sin that may make me feel better for the moment, but it doesn't do exactly what the Scripture is telling us it does. I can't get that forgiveness unless I have that confession. And that's what we're really going for, isn't it? We're going for the confession from the only one that we've offended, which is God, because we're essentially, sin is what? It's we're out of God's will at that point. Sin is anything that is against God's will. So we need that forgiveness. So, and, you know, this can kind of go off into this path, but why are we talking about this? Well, because remember our context, we're talking about walking. We're still talking about walking. And there's no doubt that, well, here's another one, Ephesians 5:8. Tells us to walk as children of light. Remember, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Then you have passages like 1 John 1:5 and 6. This message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So filling here means to complete, to complete. And isn't that just what the Holy Spirit does for us? The Holy Spirit completes us as believers in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is what allows us to enter into the spiritual realm to even perform anything effective in God's plan for our lives, anything. That's the Holy Spirit. That's that completing aspect. I know we all have different talents. We can do certain things, but when we exclude the Holy Spirit's power, we're incomplete. There is no mission accomplished. There is no glorifying God. There is none of these things if we exclude or leave out the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit is really what takes us from the physical realm into the spiritual realm. That's God's realm. And that's where we always want to be as servants. We want to be in that realm. We want to be serving in a way that is most effective as we can possibly be. And so, and we know that the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit is what gives us the very divine power that we need to live in such a way that completes us as believers. So, being complete is an important aspect of the Christian life. And that's why part of the definition of the word filled we looked at here is to cause to abound or to furnish or supply liberally. If you need any suppliance of spiritual resources that God gives you to perform, to fill the gaps where you may fall short, here's where we get it, right here. God fills the gap with the Holy Spirit. And so he gives us divine power, and we need to live in such a way that we are complete. So the Holy Spirit supplies this for us. And then that's why part of the definition, you see, it says to abound also. Take one example, the fruits of the Spirit. I would say those are abounding or completing a person. If we can actually get to a point in our spiritual growth where we are fulfilling Galatians 5:22, there's something to say for that. And there's something to say when it comes to who's getting the glory in that. If we're actually performing these in a way that is designed by God, by Scripture, by the Holy Spirit, I mean, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So you can see how these things really do complete us, I feel like, as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, to, I guess you could say, be all that we can be in this Christian way of life. A couple of ways that you've heard this in the Scripture that are synonymous. You can't have one without the other. As filling of the Holy Spirit is walking in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. Walking in the light, we have our passages. We also have 1 John 1:7. Imitating Christ, Ephesians 5:1. Partakers of the divine nature. I like that one. 2 Peter 1:4. And of course, be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. That's our verse. So what's the culprit in all this that can affect this? Well, we kind of already mentioned that it's sin. And we see our verse specifically has brought up drunkenness as the sin, but we can see sin in general in Galatians 5:16. Same type of deal. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Here's that battle. And you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. See, there's only one or the other. That's our options right here. And there's that contrast it's bringing out again. You're either walking in complete by the Spirit or you aren't. But you see what knocks you into carnality. It says, verse 17, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So you can hear that conscience coming in there. As a believer, we have a sense of conscience where we know what's wrong, what's right. And so that helps you. That is a guide, I feel. We do have a sense of a guide from being indwelled by the Spirit. But the filling of the Spirit can be lost from sin, from the flesh. So they don't get along. And they set their desires against each other. So you can really kind of start to understand the more you are influenced by one or the other, the more pull and the more a desire each one is going to have for you to stay in that position. The longer we stay out of fellowship, the longer, the harder it's going to be to get back in fellowship. And just vice versa, the same thing. The more we're in the Word, the more we're filled with the Spirit, the easier and the faster it is for you to going to go back. Because that opposition gets farther and farther apart and it becomes easier to win the battle between those two. But it just depends on where we're at spiritually, where we're at in the Word, where we're at in that relationship, right? How close, how personal. That's a day-to-day thought process that we go through here. So make sure you crown the right king of the mountain in this case. So let's see. He does not control when we sin, grieve him, or perform human good or evil, quench him. That's when the Holy Spirit does not control you. Notice they all go right back to sin in both cases. And I just wanted to, I wrote this down, or I didn't write it down. I don't think we write anymore, do we, too much? I copied and pasted this from a book written by Lewis Chafer from 1918. And I always hesitate to read things like this because you almost have to sign up to every doctrinal belief that they stand for. But that's not the case. I just like this specific write-up that he wrote on about the Holy Spirit. He's very accurate in a lot of things. And anyways, this is from 1918. It's called He That Is Spiritual. It's a little excerpt from it. It says, "It is the revealed purpose of God that the Spirit shall be constantly ministered unto the Christian. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit." Galatians 3:5. "A Christian, to be spiritual, must then be filled and kept filled by the Spirit. An experience may or may not accompany the first entrance into the Spirit-filled life. But even when there is an experience, the Bible knows nothing of a second blessing or a second work of grace, wherein there will be any less need of the mighty enabling power of God tomorrow than there has been today. One may learn better how to walk in the Spirit, but he will never come to a moment in his life when he will need to walk less by the Spirit. The divine resources for a moment-by-moment triumph in Christ are limitless, but the utter need of the helpless creature never ceases. It is important to note that the three times in the New Testament the effect of strong drink is put over against the Spirit-filled life. Luke 1:15, Acts 2:12 through 21, and Ephesians 5:18. As a strong drink stimulates the physical forces, and men are prone to turn to it for help over the difficult places, so the child of God, facing an impossible responsibility of a heavenly walk and service, is directed to the Spirit as the source of all sufficiency. Every moment in a spiritual life is one of unmeasured need and superhuman demands, and the supply of enabling power and grace must be a constantly received and employed. As thy day, so shall thy strength be." So you can tell he's preaching the same thing we're teaching, in that that's something we can lose. It's also something we get better at staying in. And I like the way he said what we're in, the spiritual life, is something that is unmeasured and needs superhuman demands. And it does. We have to be superhuman, but it doesn't take ourselves. It takes the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important that we're walking in the Spirit, being guided by the Spirit, and just allowing ourselves to be in this position. And part of this takes humility. There's a good reason why, there's a theological camp that just pushes aside this in and out of fellowship. It's because they don't have to deal with. There's no responsibility. They take the responsibility off of themselves when it comes to personal sin in their life. We have to hold ourselves accountable when it comes to personal sin and the filling of the Holy Spirit. If we have a command, maybe we should look into that and say, well, I can lose that and I need to always be filled. And what's the root cause of that? Well, in each of these things that I told you, the synonyms for filling of the Spirit, in every context there, it's sin. It's no secret. It's nothing that we're trying to hide. We just want to explain it. And if we can explain it in such a way that opens our eyes to saying, I don't want to be in a state of dissipation like our verse says, which means to be a waste. I want to be in a state when I am filled and being actually doing the will of God and on mission. It's like you're punching the time clock. We want to be on the clock. We don't want to be sitting, on the sidelines. And that's essentially what the Holy Spirit does for us. It gets us in uniform and ready to go to work. So, and I didn't really mention it. Well, maybe I did, but the word dissipation here is in the nominative case. And all that means for us is that it's the subject of the sentence. And so, we've been seeing these things that understanding the will of God, and then we see what the difference is. But the focus here is on, are we being spiritually wasteful or not? Are we just going through the motions or not? Because that's what, you know, are we walking in the light versus in darkness? We just can't, we have to address these things. And so the Holy Spirit is the believer's enabling power to do anything that counts in the plan of God. Anything. And I will say that over and over. Anything that we do when it comes to relationships, when it comes to your family, when it comes to, you know, there's so many problems that happen when it comes to people that we can't resolve that require the Holy Spirit's guidance. What do I say? What do I do? What am I supposed to even think right now? There's times where we don't even know how to begin to solve the puzzle that we're in. And that's why that's where the superhuman strength comes in, by the Holy Spirit. But we have it available. It's all here. We've got it. It's given to us freely. We just have to pay attention to what it is, because if you are going to effectively walk the path of understanding God's will for your life and do things as unto the Lord and watch doors open. We always hear about doors opening. This is how we make them open. And see, we're not pushing them open. The Holy Spirit is pushing them open. Because the Holy Spirit is not only in control of you, but in control of what happens in the scenario. That's where the powerful part of this is. It's not just us in a little bubble. It's God controlling the situation. And so when you get on, punch that time clock, guess whose side you're on and whose time you're in and whose power you're in. It becomes a whole new ball game. And that's where we want to be, because we all have a ministry. We all have a gift. We all have things we have to do. We all have friends that are relying on you, maybe more, maybe some less, but the point still remains, you're in their life. You're there for a reason. And we want to make the right moves at the right time. We want to make the right decisions at the right time. And timing is so critical, and we just can't keep track of the details. There's so many things that if we think, you know, I have this, this, and this to do, how in the world am I going to keep all this together? We can't. And that's by design, we can't do it. But see, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in your walk. It's part of your walk, you know. You want to be equipped, this is just how to do it, right here. I like the verse that said, partakers of the divine nature. You step in to the divine nature when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, you are a believer. You're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Remember, you never lose that as a child of God. We know that. That's a permanent thing. The Holy Spirit has a couple of ministries. This is the one that we know we can lose from the command. Be filled with the Spirit. We're never commanded to be indwelt by the Spirit, by the way. So, and of course, this is important, but it boils down to that wastefulness. Are we being wasteful? So, because, you know, as you know and I know, we are not good enough on our own. We can't do it on our own. We've got things that fail. We forget. Our bodies fail us. We're in a fallen world. Things don't go as planned. And the only way you're going to be in a position to be able to brace for these things and be prepared for these is to be filled with the Spirit. That's it. Maintenance, I call it maintenance of sin. Keep short accounts. Who are you controlled by? What's controlling you? It could be the flesh or it could be the Spirit. Either one. So that's important. This is an important deal. That's kind of why I wanted to make a bigger deal out of this than normal, because as believers, as children of God, we've got to learn how to do things that are in God's will. You know, do things that are as He desires us to do. And we don't really lock on to that until we get serious, we get focused, and we start to want to do things God's way. In a general statement, we start to want to do things God's way. And this is the, I feel like, the most critical part of that. Because as new believers, God, we do go in that direction. We go in the direction of God slowly, but you don't start getting real focused in your Christian life, in your ministry, in wherever you are, in your focus that God has specifically for you, until you are filled with the Spirit. And that's why it's so critical that we need to start paying attention to these things. Or, you know, we have things like, you can see things in the Scripture, what it looks like, just the opposite looks like. The Pharisees, you know, they did this. This is spiritual wastefulness. They looked really good. You know, they dressed the part. They could talk the part. They knew the lingo. They, everything about them, they dotted the I's and they crossed the T's. But see, when it come to the soul issue, a spiritual issue, they just weren't following it as the Word of God had told them to. It was more taking it out, and I wanted to live the spiritual life the way I felt was correct. So we don't want to do that. And all we can produce in that situation is what the Word means, wastefulness. And that's where we go back to dead works and human good. So see, we're really talking about multiple things here. We're talking about a walk, yes, but look what else we're referring to. Human good and divine good. And we all know where that goes to. If we don't care about doing things God's way on this earth, we should at least be thinking about the judgment seat of Christ, if nothing else. Because we always tend to forget, Christians tend to forget that God doesn't judge sin at the judgment seat of Christ. Sin is, that's gone. That's not even an issue at the judgment seat of Christ. The issue is, how much time did you waste as a Christian? How much time did you spend filled with the Holy Spirit as a Christian? And the word dissipation brings that out. It has the word salvation in it, to save, and has that little A on the front, to not save. How much time did you not save from being out of fellowship? 1 Corinthians 3:12. I like to read this every once in a while because this is exactly what's going to bring this aspect out for everyone. Every Christian will have to be here. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, you can notice a difference there, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. That's it. God is going to test the quality. Verse 14 says, if any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you get the picture there? You can have someone that produced nothing but human good and be saved. But you can see that there's a problem with that, because there's no reward. There's no above and beyond. This is the part, this is the fact that separates believers from other believers in heaven. It says, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. In other words, he just barely made it. He made it. You get the point. But it's just showing you that, you know, he kind of just slid into heaven. I'm here, where are we at? You know, okay, oh, I was supposed to do that. Well, all of a sudden, all his works go up in smoke. Well, then, okay, here you go. No rewards. This is a big deal, you know. And so, verse 16, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. And that is what you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he is wise in this age, he must become foolish. Remember, we talked about this verse. Actually, I didn't even go back up to the point of talking about rewards, but that's what it takes. It takes becoming humble, which means foolish, and recognizing that, you know, it's not my plan. It's not the way I want to do things. It's not the way I can be whatever in a relationship or the people I know, or I can connect you and you, and I can just make this happen because of me. It's because of the Holy Spirit. And you see, people get caught up like the Pharisees in the popularity thing. They want to stay in there, but look what they lose out on. They had to become foolish. They had to put aside their plan, what they had in mind, for God's plan. We've got to do that. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So, wow. See, you just didn't know when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're just going to start singing to each other, did you? That'd be kind of funny to watch if everybody started singing. That's really not what the verse is saying. But that would be entertaining to watch. So first we have the phrase speaking to one another. So we're talking about speaking, talking, believers in Jesus Christ talking. Then you go a little bit farther. And how are you going to do that? Well, it says by praising God. If I'm reading this scripture correctly, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, every one of these examples have to do with praising God. Praising God. Honoring God. But look, you're actually going to sing too. It says singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So notice where the singing and the worship are coming from. Your heart, which is the real you, by the way. And that's directed towards the Lord. So, you know, one thing about singing, this reminded me about singing in general in the church, like we do often. It's like a small sermon. It really is. There's many times when we've sang a song and I think, you know, I could actually take that song and I could preach on it. I could take it and I could exegete it and I could put some bullet points and we could actually teach this song. Because when we're singing, if you're actually thinking about what you're singing about, as we just did, it's almost like you're teaching yourself some doctrine from the hymn or the song, right? And it's very interesting. And so part of this means that we need to hear. We have to hear. And we have to be open to hearing the Word of God to be able to even have this worship. Because I feel like a song is a worship to God. If you're thinking what's in the verse, what's in the hymn book, if you're actually thinking that through in your mind, that's worship. That isn't directed toward anyone necessarily in here. It's directed towards God. That's a part of our worship service, is a song, is a hymn that we sing. So, and many times when we sing those, you know what I find? I find that I need to hear them. I find that they're edifying to us. I find that they're helpful to me at a certain time in my life. But the only reason that they're all this way, and they build us up a lot of times, they motivate us sometimes. The only reason they're this way, all these positive things, is because of the content or the subject of the song. They all have something to do about God. Every single one of them. They all have something. We're just singing about God and to God. That's glorifying God if we're filled with the Spirit. God is pleased with that. He's pleased with it. And I can tell you how many times I've seen this, not only in the congregation, is that it's almost like a soothing effect. it builds up, it motivates, and sometimes it's just pleasing to the ears. I'm not saying that we all have great voices, because I know I don't contribute anything to the sound, but it goes to show it's not about the sound. It's about the words. It's about the words. So, see, you can speak to each other in the same way. You can speak to each other in a productive, edifying, motivational, a building up kind of way, just as the music is. But it has to be coming from the right place. Just as the, what does it say? In your heart to the Lord. If we're there speaking to people, everything that you say is going to be something real. It's going to be something true. It's going to be something that is a building up aspect. It's going to be something motivational. It may not be something that's happy, but it'll be something they need. It'll be edifying. You see, the same thing the songs do, we have the ability to produce in our speech, in our talk, because it's all rooted in the melody with your heart to the Lord. So that goes back to that relationship thing. There's absolutely nothing wrong with singing in your heart to the Lord. That's what, I feel like that's what we do in our relationship, don't we? So look where you can see, better understand this. This is actually mentioned one other place. It says, let the word of Christ richly, that means in quantity, dwell within you. So you see what we're talking about right now, the word, the word. Now, this is the word here means to live in, as in your personal residence. Let the word of Christ richly live within you. This is fellowship. This is a picture of fellowship. When you're around someone, you spend time around them, they occupy your thoughts, you know them, you have fellowship with them. That's what this verse is referring to right here. Okay? Then look. With all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Same idea, but look what it all started with. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That's where it's all rooted. And lastly, I just wanted to point out that admonishing one another means, that word means to give advice or have a conversations that are doctrinal and with spiritual substance. That's that rooted in that praise to God. That's what the conversations are about. There's some doctrinal and spiritual substance in your conversation. So there's that idea of just building up again, building others up with the Word of God that you have the ability to do. No doubt. So, let me just read verse 17 and then we'll stop there. This is what we're, where we'll pick up next time. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So, actually, that wasn't Ephesians. That was a continuation of verse of Colossians 3:17. Did I already read that? Okay, we're good. Here's what I wanted to read. Ephesians 5:20. This is where we'll start next time. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So now we're getting into more of the Thanksgiving aspect of this. And Thanksgiving is always good, especially when we're talking about Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are beyond thankful for Your Son. We, without Jesus Christ, without the cross, we wouldn't have any partaking of Your nature. But You allowed us that. You granted us access because You knew we were fallen. You knew we had the barrier of sin just blocking that relationship that we couldn't get past. There was nothing in us that we could do or say that could change that. So You took it upon Yourself to send Jesus Christ to die and pay the penalty for our sin. And all of a sudden, that barrier is removed. there is no barrier. The only barrier is our volition and our free decision to either choose to accept Christ or reject Him. Your word tells us, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be saved. There is no barrier. And I just pray that as many people can come to realize this as possible, that it's so simple because you've already paved the way, you've carved it, you've done the work, and you've sacrificed your very own Son on our behalf. And I thank you for these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.